Welcome back to The Guilty and the Ghostly. I'm Audrey.
I'm Josh.
And I'm Garrett.
And we are back to Texas. Yeah. So, Tori was supposed to come over and record tonight. She's out gallivanting with her friends. She ditched us.
Yep.
So then Garrett's like, hey, you want to come over and record? We're like, hell yeah. So we thought we'd have Garrett, Seth, us. Do you guys see Seth? I don't see Seth. You might hear Seth in a minute. He's right over there working on his truck.
Yep.
Knowing we're trying to record outside and using a grinder.
I think he had plans.
I think he had plans too. But that's okay. Garrett showed up. Oh, and Becca. You can't see Becca, but we're going to throw her under the bus. We tried to get her to record with us, but she said no.
Yep.
She didn't want to play our reindeer games.
We even have enough microphones.
I know. We even have a fourth microphone for you. We could still hand it to you. You can just sit over there. So, on today's episode, we are going to recap. I'm going to kill him. Of course, he didn't do any of this while we were setting up. The entire time, he did not touch that thing. It's not until we go to record. Okay. Are we good?
Probably not.
Probably not. In today's episode, what we are going to do is recap our Tennessee trip. So, did you see all the pictures?
Yes.
It's like every time he hears you talk, he turns it on.
So, as y'all know, we went to Tennessee to, one, remember that in person for the very first time. Yep. That was really cool.
Shout out to those guys.
Yeah, shout out, guys. We also went to FrankenCon, which is super cool.
Yeah, it was interesting.
A lot of booths.
Yeah, we actually got to meet a lot of cool people there.
A lot of cool people from patrons of just the con itself. They had several celebrities there, mm-hmm. People selling really cool things. Yeah. We bought way more than what we should,
yeah.
But we got a lot of
decorations. Do you guys remember the lady? I can't remember what her last name is. I think it's Linda's first name, but she was the up all night lady on like USA Network. And it was the network that played like the scary movies late at night.
I guess
she was like the host of that little deal of movies, that movie block, and she was there.
Oh, cool.
And then the guy that played the Toxic Avenger was there.
Pumpkinhead
was there. And we actually got them, a couple of those guys, to agree to do interviews with us on Remember That.
Okay.
I can't remember what that other lady was
Trash.
From. What was she from? Do you remember?
I don't remember. You'd have to ask Corky. Either. So the guy that we are with, Corky, he's a major fan of hers, and he was pumped all week about meeting her. I'm throwing you under the bus, Corky. And he gets up to her and just blanks. And his wife is standing there with him, and she's like, he won't say anything. And
Deer
she's
in the headbutt.
Yeah, his wife goes, go ahead, tell her what you do. And he goes, I have a podcast. And she's like, okay, tell him about it. About scary movies. And that's all he would say. Totally panicked. It was okay, Corky.
Yep.
But yeah.
It was great.
It was funny.
But yeah, we got to meet a lot of cool people there. There was a lot of cool artists there.
Yeah.
And then we met another young lady that Audrey got to experience. I'll let you tell about that.
Yeah, so she was there. She goes, I should have looked it up. She goes by Eve or Evie, I think. And she was doing tarot cards. Hmm. And we were looking at them, and I thought she was selling the tarot cards at first, but I have always been told that you don't buy yourself tarot cards. So I asked her about it, and I was like, I've always been told that you don't buy yourself tarot cards. You have to be gifted it. And so I got two different answers. So Eve herself said, no, you can buy your own tarot cards. That's fine. Normally, you are supposed to be gifted at least your first set, but after that, it's fine. Her mom, on the other hand, had heard more of what I heard, is that you're supposed to be gifted the tarot cards more than anything. So I guess it's just whatever your beliefs are, that's what you go with. But she was doing tarot readings, and so Josh is like, do you want to do it? And I was like, I don't know. And I kind of went back and forth, and finally I was like, okay, yeah, let's do it.
I've had tarot cards done on me before, but I think the strangest one is I actually met a girl and actually gave me like a free reading.
Yeah.
Palm reading.
Mm-hmm.
It's freaky shit. She's.
Yeah. Well, I actually recorded my tarot reading, and I was going to play it for you.
Okay.
So we get there, she had like 20 decks laid out, and she said, what I want you to do is pick out whichever calls to you. So I looked at them for a second, and I was like, okay, this one. So I picked it, and she's picked it up, and she's like, oh, this is, what would she call it, my demon cards or something like that. And Josh goes, oh, that's
about right.
Yeah, that's about right. She said, okay, I'm going to hand these to you, and you either have to hold it in your dominant hand or both hands. And what I want you to do is imagine a light around you. And it can be whatever color you want. Just imagine a light around you. And as you're thinking of that, think about the question or any answers that you want, or just kind of whatever you want to think about or what answers to. And I was like, okay, so I did it. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you what my questions or whatever was. So my question was, are we doing the right thing with the podcast? Should we continue that? And should I keep leaning into my spiritual side? Like, you know, psychic, medium, whatever. Because I keep getting pushed in that direction. Should I follow that? And this is what my reading said.
So what I would like you to do first, since there is a lot out, see which one you feel more drawn to, and that's the deck we go with. This is my tarot deck full of demons.
The third thing.
What I would like you to do is, any way you want to hold it, hold it with both hands or your dominant hand, and envision a bright light surrounding the deck and yourself. The color of the light can be any color of your choosing, and while you're doing that, either think of what's kind of been on your mind. If you want to ask a question, you can ask it as well. And take as long as you need, and when you're ready to do the reading, we'll start. So with Bale, he is about temptations and overcoming those. So in the past, you may have dealt with a lot of, I wouldn't say addictions, but like,
that's what we like to.
Similar to where it was things you just kept going to because you didn't know what else to go towards. It was like magnetic. And you knew you needed to get rid of it, but part of you was like, I'd rather not, because this feels familiar to me, and I'd rather not go into the unknown. Because you may have tried that before, and it felt like it backfired heavily. So with that, you're like, okay, I'm just gonna stick to what I know. I'm gonna stay in my box. Astroth is about knowledge. So because of you seemingly going back into the known and going back into your little hermit form, it feels like you may have missed out on more than you realized. And you came to a conclusion that you're going to have to go into the unknown whether you like it or not. It's one of those that you think your candle is out, but it's not. So one of those that you just need to continue moving forward, no matter how scary it might seem or not knowing what might happen.
Okay.
Because if you keep worrying about the what if instead of actually experiencing it, you're going to constantly have yourself in this anxiety form, or not actually being able to do things that you wanted to do because you're stuck in the what if. Furfur, he... Let me make sure. Yeah, he is about speaking your truth. So with that, with trying to come out of your little shell, speak how you feel. Don't allow people anymore to tell you, oh, your opinions aren't valid, or what you said made no sense. Don't allow people to dictate what you say, what you do, what you don't do, because this is your life, not theirs.
Okay.
They haven't seen what you have been through, but you know what you have been through.
Okay.
Abigor is about communion. So these three would be about the future. So with this being speaking your truth and everything, Abigor being about communion is you're going to find your people. You're going to find your little tribe that understands you, has either had similar or close to like same trauma maybe, or similar things. But these people are going to be the ones that you will have sticking by your life for possibly the rest of your life. Because these people are the ones you need to help not only you grow, but them grow as well. With Buff Knight is about attitude towards everything. So with that being the case, attitude-wise, this is going to be something that you have been waiting for a long time. That it's finally going to get you in a place where you actually want to talk to a lot of people. You actually want to actually show how your feelings affect you. Whether it's happiness, sadness, anger, you finally actually let people see that side of you when you usually wouldn't. And then, however this is pronounced, he is about stability and travel. So this could possibly be people that are quite literally all over the place. So you've got one person living in close states with you, and then others could be like international friends.
That's wild.
So, I mean, I guess it's okay to kind of tell you what I was thinking. And kind of, okay, so we actually have a podcast, and we keep being told that they believe I have spiritual abilities and possibly medium, and I've always kind of wanted to see what would happen with that, but I've always been too scared because I was raised in a very religious house, and it was like, that's the unknown, I don't want to touch it. But it keeps coming back, people saying, I really think you have abilities, you need to look at it. And what's funny is you were talking about people being all over. We're from Texas, and we came here for this con through a group that we met through the other podcast that we do, and we like instantly clicked and have become really good friends.
That's amazing.
So that is very awesome. It was very spot on.
Coming from me personally, not trying to be biased because of what I do, but I think you should look into it. If it's something you keep coming back to, you definitely need to at least look into it.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I keep getting pushed every time we talk about it, like a little bit closer and a little bit closer. We actually just interviewed a lady. Her name is Dr. Holly Hobbs, and she's a numerologist, and she did our numbers and stuff, and she's like, oh, you need to do it. And then Corky, the other guy that we do the podcast with, and he's like, he has interviewed a lot of mediums and stuff, and he goes, I think you need to talk to somebody. It's very cool, very neat. So thank you.
You're welcome.
So it's crazy how spot on she was. So one thing was, you know, finally being able to show who I am. I'm a very guarded person. Most people don't know the real me, which we found out with our numerology on that we're going to talk about later today too. That's very common in threes. They don't show the real them to very many people.
Right.
And she commented on that you're going to start figuring out how to do that and expressing yourself better. And I was like, whoa, that's crazy. And then she said, what else was there? You've always been told not, you know, don't do this. And you've always kind of held back. That's 100% me. I've always been, not trauma dump, but had always been told, you'll never amount to anything. You'll never get farther than this. You'll never. Don't do this. You'll never succeed. And so I've always been scared to go out and do something like the podcast or even professionally I've always held back because I'm like, I'm just going to fail. So what's the point? And then for her to say, no, you're going to succeed. Go ahead. Don't listen to those people. I was like, okay, that's crazy. Which, yes, that's very vague, but it's just really cool to hear, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, when she said that you're going to find your tribe, but they're going to be far off. And she had no idea that we had just traveled all the way to Tennessee from Texas to meet with friends for the first time. And we're building this podcast together and kind of trying to help each other build our own podcast to help both of us succeed. And it was like, what the hell? Like, it blew my mind. It was so crazy. Yes.
Some of the readings can get pretty detailed.
Yeah. And
depending on the person reading you, too.
She was really cool. She's very shy. But I asked her if she would be interested in coming on the podcast. And I'm actually going to we're going to interview her Friday. She's going to come on and talk about tarot cards and discuss different things. And
Friday, what time?
2 o'clock.
I'm off Friday.
So. If you want to come over, you're more than welcome.
Sit in, come on.
Yeah, so we're going to interview her at 2. So I can't wait to show you guys release that episode. I think it's going to be really cool.
And then we'll also have some new stuff. I just found the actual cable for the HD camera. Mm-hmm. So hopefully our imaging will be better as well.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that we weren't getting that quality until literally moments. Then there's also a surprise coming for Audrey.
A surprise for me?
Yeah.
Does that mean I have to stay off Amazon?
Yep.
Ah. No Amazon shopping for me. So that was really cool to do that. I've never had my tarot cards read. I've always wanted some, but because I've always been told you're not.
So you've never had a palm reading either?
No. No. And so because I've always been told you don't buy your own, I've never done it. So
I'll tell you this. I know there's a place in Tyler. They call it Just the Rock Shop.
I think I've been there.
Yeah, and they have people like that. They have shamans come out, and they do like the vibration bowls that make you stand in. And
those are so cool.
Oh, yeah. When we went, was it North Carolina or South Carolina?
I don't remember. I think that one was North Carolina.
I don't remember.
One of the Carolinas.
It was the first one we went to.
I don't remember.
But anyway, we went to this. It was supposed to be like a drum shop, right? But they had probably, what was there, 150
yeah,
bowls?
Oh, so
there?
Many. And it was so
many. They ranged from this big to,
like, ginormous.
They were monstrous.
Like as big as Jackson.
Some of them were, yeah, they were like that, but they were as big around as my shoulders. They were gigantic.
Oh, they had, at the rock shop, they sell, like, gemstones.
Mm-hmm. Well, they did stuff like that there, too. And they had, like, more than just the drums. They had instruments from all over the world.
They had, like, Himalayan salt lamps.
It was super
cool. It was really cool.
They make jewelry there, too.
Yeah, we've been there. Daddy likes going there.
This guy had, like, a little jewel attached to his glasses or something.
Yeah.
I can't remember what he said it was for.
It was really cool. I thought that bird was fixing to attack us.
I did, too.
That's another thing is our audio may not be great today, but we're outside doing this. We didn't want to make Mom turn her TV off.
Yeah.
So you might hear some outdoor noises.
Yeah, so you might hear some wind chimes and some birds. But yeah, that was a really cool experience with the tarot cards. Another cool thing that we got to do is we stopped in, I guess we'll start at the beginning. I almost got in Arkansas. I almost became a true crime podcast story. Did I not?
Yes, yeah, she really did.
It was terrifying. So on the way there, we had to stop for Josh's work to drop off a part in Arkansas, in Little Rock, Arkansas. We're like, it's perfect. We'll drive a few hours. I'll get us that much closer. We'll stay there over the night. So we're looking for a cheap hotel. It's just me and Josh. So we're like, it doesn't have to be fancy. And so I looked at like the cheapest, but with the highest rating. It was sketchy.
I'm pretty sure the ratings came from the homeless people that lived there.
Oh, God.
It was sketchy. But that next morning, I was like, hey, I'm going to go ahead and put all this stuff in the van while he was finishing getting ready. He's like, okay, no big deal. Left my phone in the hotel room, started carrying stuff outside, and I'm in the back putting stuff in the van. And I hear a guy behind me catcalling, like, hey, you're fine. You're gorgeous. Hey, mama. Hey, girl. And I was like, okay, I'll ignore it. They'll go away. Because normally that's what I do. I just ignore them. They'll go away. But he was getting louder, and I was like, oh, God. So I was looking at the hotel, our hotel room door, and it was directly in front of the van. So I'm thinking, okay, if I run really fast,
He can't catch me.
But he was getting louder. So I was like, okay, I need to see how close he is to me, because he was getting very aggressive. And so I turn around and I make eye contact with this man. And I'm like, oh, God. Well, that just like set a fire underneath him, because then he even got more aggressive and even louder. And there was a guy on the balcony above our hotel room that I was like, maybe he's trying to holler at him. But no, he was hollering at me. And I guess Josh, he was in there. Did you hear him?
I heard somebody hollering outside. So I went to check.
And the whole time I'm like, okay, I don't have my phone. I don't have my gun on me. Hopefully don't tell me, say I light up the room, because we all know that's BS, but it's my time to go. So Josh opens the door and I'm like, oh, thank God. So I like push the button real quick and I run to the front of the van and go into the hotel room. I didn't even say anything to Josh. I just poof, right into the hotel room. Like, it's your turn, buddy. Mm-hmm. And he started trying to talk to Josh. And the whole time I'm running, he's like, miss. But then he sees Josh. And then he's like, oh, hey, bro, hey, bud. And Josh is like, no, we have nothing for you. No. And he kept trying to holler at Josh, and Josh just shut the door and locked it. And I was like, oh my God.
Like, you know, my heart goes out for homeless people and all, but at the same time, don't act like that.
Especially with a woman there by herself. It looked like I was by myself, just trying to load stuff in my van. And if he needed money, then don't come at me saying, hey, fine. Hey, you're fine. Hey, gorgeous. Hey, sexy. You know, yeah,
you're giving the wrong vibe.
Yes, it's disrespectful to me as a woman, number one. Number two, what do you think I'm going to say? Oh, you think I'm hot? So here's $5. You know, like, it.
I mean, you never know. It might have worked in the past.
Maybe.
And he may not even been homeless. He may be one of those traffickers or something.
Yeah, and that's what I was terrified of, is because you don't know these days, and you always hear them, you know, trying to get you over to the side, and
they grab you. Well, seclude you from society.
Yes, yes. And thank God there was a fence separating us, because there was a fence around the hotel, but it was like it had an opening where you had to drive in. Thank God that fence was there, because I have no idea what would happen.
Carrying that pistol Josh got you.
I know. I was going to, but I was like, oh, I'm not.
You flash that little blue thing, I guarantee you, my bad.
And, you know, I even told Josh later, I was like, you know, I was thinking about bringing my conceal and carry purse, and I do when I travel by myself.
Yeah.
But I was with Josh. I was like, oh, I'll be fine. And I honestly was running to load things up, but that's all it takes is that split second, with your guard being down. So that was my true crime experience while we were out of town. But and then we went to Falk, Arkansas, and they had a museum. Do you want to bring up some pictures? They had a museum. They have a Boggy Creek Monster in Falk, Arkansas.
Is that like the swamp?
A swamp Bigfoot, basically?
Yeah.
And it's a gas station, but in this gas station, they have a museum completely dedicated to the Boggy Creek Monster. So it was really cool. They had like a casting. So this was the front. There's just a little picture of it. Yeah.
I was wondering where that was at. I saw the picture.
It's called Monster Mart. It's literally on the side of the road. I don't know what that is, Josh.
What?
Oh, I'm going the wrong way. It was like your flight stuff. It's got casting, like foot.
Oh, wow.
Some of them are from that area. They've got clippings of sightings. And researchers come in. Like, it was so cool.
It's basically a swamp Bigfoot.
Yeah, and that freaked me out. I walked in, turned the corner, and seen this body laying in a case. And I was like, what is that? It completely freaked me out. They had a little place where you could watch a movie in there. I think Josh got a t-shirt. I got a postcard. It was just really, really neat. They had all the sightings marked. So it was really cool, and we'll post the pictures online as well so you guys can see. I was going to see, oh, yeah, they had, like, a replica of the gas station. That's what it looked like on the outside. That's all the castings that they have found. So it was a really neat, oh, that was Josh's urinal that he found. Look at the silicone on that.
Yeah, how much silicone do you need, dude?
He didn't even wipe it.
No.
Like, the bathroom straight up smelled like silicone.
Yeah, he's like, look at this. And I was like, what?
Like, I walked in, I was like, huh, somebody just redid the caulking in here. I can smell it. And then I seen that.
That's where it is.
And I was like, oh.
There
That's probably been there for 3 weeks and still hasn't cured.
Yeah, it's crazy. So we stopped in Falk, Arkansas, got to see that. I left a Guilty and Ghostly sticker on the sign-in book, and I made a TikTok asking if anybody found it to
shout out.
Yeah, let me know. I thought that'd be cool. I haven't heard anything. And then we drove to Adams, Tennessee, where we went to the Bellwitch Cave. Are you familiar with Bellwitch?
I've heard of... No.
No. We are going to cover it, so I'll give you a very short story. So Bellwitch, or the Bells, moved onto the property. John Bell started seeing...
Like little house?
It was just like a little cabin.
Little cabin, yeah.
Yeah. So they moved to the little cabin, and John Bell started seeing creatures, and like... One creature looked like, I think it was a rabbit and a dog or something like that.
I don't remember.
Some kind of like morphed creature. It almost sounds like skinwalkers. And they would often see these figures and would shoot at them, but they would never get it. And then stuff started happening in their home, and they would physically be attacked. Him, the dad, and the daughter were attacked the worst. Now, the mother of the family almost seemed to be protective of her. And like if the kids were doing stuff they weren't supposed to, she would tell the mom before they got home what they were doing. And the mom would be like they weren't supposed to be in the cave. And the mom was like, were you in the cave today? And they're like, no, we were. And she's like, really? Because I was told you were. And the spirit told her that the kids were like in this cave.
Creepy.
Mm-hmm.
And they believe she came from the cave. They don't know. Some believe it was a demon. Some believe she came from the cave, from a portal. There was a rumor that she was actually one of the neighbors, and they kind of had a shady business dealing. And they believe that it was her coming after them.
Mm-hmm.
We're definitely going to cover it. It was really cool. We could not take pictures of inside the cabin. I think the pictures of the cabin are...
But you said cave.
I got outside pictures.
Yes, which I'll show you the cave.
Yeah, I got a bunch of pictures of
the cave. I did not hear anything about the cave, but I've heard of the cabin.
Okay, so this...
Well, the cabin, a lot of the people around the town actually came in and stayed in that cabin and had experiences of their own as well.
President Andrew Jackson came to see if he could have an experience. So this isn't the original cabin. It is just a replica. The original cabin ended up being destroyed. And this is the pathway down to the cave, which I thought I was going to die trying to get there. That was cool.
It was like straight down. And then the steps they had were like step and a half steps. So you had to like stutter step on every...
It was awful. So this is inside the cave. We actually got to go inside the cave and check it out. It was beautiful. That is a grave site of an Indian girl that was about 9 to 11 years old. And it had been there for a long time. And before they secured the cave and where they could lock it up, back in the 60s or 70s, somebody came in and stole her remains.
Are you kidding me?
Dead serious. But they still keep the grave site.
I wonder if maybe that has something to do with some of the activity. You know, like that one house that me and Mom... worked with Bill.
Mm-hmm.
That house was built on an Indian burial ground.
This is too.
And so when we started, every time we came in to do work, something would happen.
So they actually buried the Indian burial ground. They specifically chose that spot because of the cave, because they believed it was easier for the spirits to go down into the underworld.
Right.
And so they specifically picked that burial spot because it was kind of an
in-between.
Yes, yeah. It was very cool. We got to check it out. We actually got with two girls that were on the thing. That they were great. They were wonderful. But then he let us sit there. Here's the cool part. So he let us sit in the cave and was like, we're just going to sit here and not make a word. Because a lot of the claims are talking, singing, drums. And so we are quiet. And I didn't want to be rude and be like, shut up, I hear something. But when he was telling us to be quiet, we heard different things. So I'll tell him what I heard, and then you can tell him what you heard.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until the very end, I thought I heard talking. I heard two different tones. There was one that was very childlike and playful. And then it stopped, and I heard more of a mature tone. Could not make out what they were saying, but you could definitely tell there were two different tones,
yeah.
And a more mature talking, and then the child kind of started again and then stopped, but then the group started talking again. Could it have been the water hitting? Probably. But there were two different tones, so it was really weird.
Mm-hmm.
And what
And to me, it sounded almost like rhythmic drumming. And again, you know, now that you say two different tones, that's basically how I heard it. But I heard drumming. I didn't hear voices. But yes, it could very well be dripping further back down the cave, because we were only allowed to go so far. And further down, it got quite a bit more treacherous. I mean, you could definitely tell that there's no way anybody went that direction. It's pretty rough past that point.
So cool.
But it was really cool. It was a really cool experience. You know, we got to sit in there for a little while. And like Audrey said, those girls were awesome. You know, they were asking questions. They were just as
interested
in it as we were. And they were having fun. Whereas when we went to
Hill House,
you know, we got stuck with the biggest
D-bag.
Ebenezer Scrooge you've ever met in your life.
Yeah. We even asked the tour guide, and we're the last tour of the day. And so he was really relaxed with us. And we're like, have you had any experiences here? And he said, oh, yeah. If you work here longer than 2 weeks, you have experiences. And so he heard footsteps. He had a breath on his neck. He said he's seen some really weird lights in the cave that should not have been there. Mm-hmm. What else?
Mostly stuff like that. Just noises. There were people, I think, that somebody may have gotten pushed.
I think so. That sound. Oh, they had a hand touch their shoulder like that.
Somebody and got their
hand he was their really shoulder. Young. I would say, how old was that second tour guide?
Maybe 22.
Yeah, like early 20s. And he's the one he was talking about. And they heard a noise, like a big, loud, like booming noise. And then he felt a hand on his back. And he said that kid just
out of there
took off. And he's like, nope, ain't doing it today. But they had a bunch of other experiences. So we're definitely going to cover. I got a book while we were there. We're definitely going to cover the Bellwitch Cave on the podcast. So that was really neat. What else did we have? I think that was about it.
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty much it. I mean, you got a book from there.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to kind of do some research on that book and the story of the Bellwitch Cave.
The book is actually written by a descendant of the Bell. I think it's like his great-grandson or something like that, because a lot of them actually don't want to be associated with it anymore, so they won't talk about it. Now, this was several generations ago, and they still were kind of talking about it. Nowadays, the Bells don't want anything to do with it. The Bell family still owns part of the property, so they're still very involved, but they don't want to talk about it.
They don't want the publicity.
No. He did say that there was one guy who I think was a funeral director or something like that in the town or town over, and he said he'll talk to you about it.
Yeah, like, that is what he said, a funeral director or
something like that.
Something along those deathly lines.
Yeah, so something in death. So I was like, oh, that was cool. So we didn't even know, just on the way there, we seen this really cool church on the way there. And I was like, oh, we've got to stop at that church on the way. So this is the church, look, established 1791.
Wow.
And mind you, we seen this church on the way in, had no idea. So we get there. This is the church that the Bells went to when all of this was happening. And that's another crazy part about this story is she didn't just haunt the Bells. She would go into town and talk to the townspeople, this witch. And there was one time where they had three different churches. There's three different sermons going on. And she would come back and repeat each sermon that happened simultaneously and repeated the sermon of all three churches. Crazy. So, yeah, we're definitely going to be covering the Bellwitch. We thought that was really cool. That is insane.
And it's still in great shape.
I mean, think about it. This country was actually independent in 1775.
All I could think about as that's we were long. Stepping or on that or like walking the grounds was like there was, which I know this is everywhere, but there was literally somebody standing here in the 1700s, 1800s. Like, that is insane. That is crazy to think about. And one thing that we discussed is, you know, they tore down the original cabin. Well, they were very resourceful back then. So what if by then destroying that cabin, what if they used those materials to build things
around
in
the
town? And that's why she kept hopping around. Yeah. It's very cool.
It's possible. It's not unheard of.
To think about.
Yeah.
I mean, that's immediately what I started thinking. I was like, wow, they tore this down, and Audrey was like, yeah, and they're super resourceful back then. You know, they kept everything.
Reused. They did.
I mean, even my dad, who wasn't that old then, you know, he would take and keep old nails and straighten them and reuse them until they just absolutely would not work anymore.
So that may be part of the connection.
So, I mean, it could be something as simple as a nail, something as simple as a decoration somewhere.
They had the old, I keep calling it a cauldron. I don't think it's a cauldron, but like cooking pot that the Bells use. And they still had it at the museum. What else did they have? Something? Oh, the foundation. They had a piece of the foundation from the original cabin there. They had this case full of arrowheads and Native American tools.
Artifacts.
That they have found on the property.
That's pretty
cool. So freaking cool. Even, like we were talking on the way over here with us doing this, you know, take the ghost side out of it and that part of it. Just the history of this stuff is so fascinating and so cool. And for them to still have some of this stuff is mind-blowing.
Yeah.
It's really cool to go see a piece of history like that. And then it also having a haunted background as well kind of makes it that much cooler.
Yeah. It was definitely really cool. So we definitely plan on going back. They have lantern tours where you can go in the cave at night. We're like, oh, buddy.
That would be cool.
We are doing that. So once a year, we're going to try to get with Remember That. And we'll have to give you more notice. Maybe you can tag along. But we're going to try to meet either halfway or pick a destination and all meet and go see something cool and hang out.
That'd be cool.
A year, so.
I'd like to do that.
Yeah, so that was our trip. So changing gears a little bit. So the last episode we had before
that wasn't the whole trip. You forgot to tell them about the cool waterfall.
Yeah.
The climb that we had to take.
Yeah. So Corky and Alicia took us to the mountains there in Tennessee. And there was a waterfall and we were checking it out. And she's like, you know, you can hike up to the top of it, but you don't have to. It's kind of not hard, but it's hot and it's not just a leisurely stroll. It's a little bit of a hike up. And she's like, you don't have to. And we can go down or we can go up. And I was like, we just drove 12 plus hours. We're going to the top of this waterfall. And Corky's like, oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was no joke. Like, it was a serious climb. I bet we climbed at least 150 feet up.
But tell me, so this is the view, not up on the waterfall, but that's the waterfall.
Well, that is pretty.
Is that not worth the climb? So we climbed all the way to the top. So that's about halfway to it. So you can kind of see, I mean, just beautiful. And that water.
You go around, didn't
you? Yes.
Yeah.
Luckily, there was like a path, but it was like sheer cliff.
Straight goat, up,
like
almost.
A goat path, you know?
Yeah, a goat Seriously. Path.
Don't look down.
Yeah. Let me see if I can find some of. You probably have more because I was in the water just trying not to fall or drop my phone. This was right above the waterfall. So this is the creek leading to the waterfall. And all I could picture was me falling into it. That's the top of it.
I was waiting for you to fall.
Yeah. Corky and Josh, that's looking over it, looking over the waterfall.
It is pretty.
It was definitely worth the climb. I mean, I honestly really was a little bit out of breath, but it wasn't where I couldn't do it.
I mean, it was just so beautiful. So I cannot thank Corky and Alicia enough for taking us on this drive. They took us up to the top of the mountain, and on top of the mountain, there was a lake. On top of the mountain. It was a man-made lake, but there was a lake on top of the mountain.
And the water was clear.
Water was clear. They said it was kind of dirty. Yeah, but it was beautiful. We're used to muddy lakes down here. I thought I had a picture of it, but I don't. Oh, there it is. That was the lake on top of the mountain.
That's pretty clear.
And we kept making jokes, you know, we keep.
Come swim in Palestine.
Yeah, come swim in Palestine. Yeah. It's pretty bad. We kept making jokes, you know, we beat it into our, not literally, but like keep telling our kids, don't talk to strangers online. Don't meet people offline that you don't know.
Yeah.
And then here we are driving 12 plus hours to meet people that we met online.
That you don't know.
That we don't know. And Corky, he goes, be honest, were you a little nervous walking in? We're like, yeah, a little bit. And Josh goes, but I didn't see any like plastic on the floor, so I knew we were good.
It wasn't a full-on Dexter moment, huh?
And then I was like, yeah, but we also, you know, we followed you up into the mountains where you could really hide a body if you wanted to.
They wouldn't hear y'all scream.
Yeah, no, and what's funny is there was no signal. It literally said SOS. Like, there was no signal
at all. At all.
The boonies. Huh?
Yeah, it was absolutely beautiful, though. We really can't thank them enough for showing us all the local spots. Awesome lunch. I think it was called The Beach or something like that.
Yeah, it reminded me of, do you remember the Dairy Suite in Covington? You were really little. You may not.
The Dairy Suite.
It's like a little roadside, like almost like a...
It's like a little hamburger and shake shop, basically, right there in the middle of Covington.
And it's not like an actual building. It's like a little...
Yeah, I remember that.
It had like a little red heart for the sign.
Yeah.
Basically how this place
was. It was kind of like that. Okay. You know, just an old school little, almost like a Shake Shack.
Yep. One of the best hamburgers we've had is $20.
Burger and shake, huh?
And both of us got a burger and we shared a big deal of fries and we both got a drink.
$20.
$20.
That ain't bad.
Actually, $19.36.
Yep. So now we're switching gears. So before we left for Tennessee, we told you about the numerology and we kind of discussed it. So I want to read what they, what she sent us on our numbers, and then we're going to do yours real quick if you want to.
Okay.
So this is what she sent me. Hey, Audrey, you are a numerology life path number 3, and so is your husband. You can Google numerology life path number 3 to find out more information about what that means. Your anti-bad luck number is 6. Avoid sixes in all things. Addresses, people, years, everything. Remember that in order to find someone's numerology life path number, you add up all the numbers and their birthday individually, and that will come to a 2-digit number. Then you add those 2 numbers together to get a 1-digit number, which is their number. You cannot break an 11, 22, 33, or 44. Those are written with their higher vibration / lower, aka 11-2. For example, if someone's birthday adds up to a 29 or a 38, or an 11, they are an 11, and you cannot reduce to 2. These are master angel numbers. Here's what the numerology life path numbers mean. 1, new beginnings, leadership, entrepreneurship, often need to be alone or in charge, or at least self-directed. 2, balance, rhythm, and timing, good at relationships. So 3, this is what me and Josh are, creativity, childlike joy, art, or often very private, may have a strong public persona, but very few people know them. 4 is stability through hard work and loyalty. 5 is constant movement, constant change, and these people need to always be moving. 6 is family, often have troubled family upbringing, so spend the rest of their lives trying to create a family. 7 is a spiritual seeker and can be unstable energy. 8, money and power, resources flowing to them. 9 is drama, endings, chaos, tragedy, a wild card. At their best, they can be humanitarians, but they attract people with problems to them. Not their fault, but it still happens. All numbers have both good and bad to them. 11 or 2 is psychic mediums and healers. 22 and 4, Da Vinci number, what they see in their head, they can create. 33 or 6, Jesus vibration. They are teachers and they spread love. And then you have 44 and 8. This is the hardest number to be. Their energy is so high, they constantly self-sabotage. So pretty cool. And so I think we did yours already, and you are what, a 7?
I'm a 9, I think.
You're a 9? Okay. So 3 plus 6 is 9. Okay, so... You're all about the drama, ending,
chaos,
tragedy, a wild card. At their best, they can be humanitarians, but they attract people with problems to them. So there you have it. You're at number 9.
Okay.
Does that fit? No comment?
He's like, oh, geez.
I mean, I guess so.
I guess. And what's crazy with Josh is, so she went into a little bit more depth on our episode. If you haven't listened to it yet, please go listen to it. Dr. Hobbs was absolutely amazing. Yeah. Now that
Thank
I've got
Dr. Hobbs
yes,
again.
Now that I've got my first interview out of the way, I would love to interview her again and have calm nerves because I was freaking out. But she went into a little bit more depth on when we were talking to her, and she said, you know, we were born to create, whether that's gardening, that crafts or whatever, podcasts, that that's what we were basically made to do. She also said we have really high highs and we have really low lows. And I mean, that is us to a T. And him and I were talking and we're like, that makes sense in our relationship too, because when we're good, we're really good, which we are most of the time. But we, every few years, we hit those low lows, and it's like, oh.
What are the odds that y'all two came together with the same number?
And I think we feed off of each other and almost codependent.
Oh, we're definitely codependent now.
Yes, and we affect each other's moods so much, and it's like, it makes sense. And then we figured out our last bad luck year, and come to find out it was the year that his dad passed away. And honestly, that was probably one of our roughest years relationship-wise. And it was like, that makes so much sense now, all of these issues that we were having. And we had a bunch of other stuff going on. But it makes so much sense having those low lows like that. There were some other things. Oh, and so we are bad about, I guess you can put it, of having that fake persona, and not very many people know the true you. And it was like, yeah, him and I both, we've always considered it masking. Like, he, ADHD, maybe a little bit on the little bit of the touch of the tism, maybe. And so we just always thought that we were masking, and that was just us masking to deal with that. And then it's like, oh, well, this also kind of makes sense. So it's just interesting breaking it down. I'm gonna have a book coming hopefully very soon and be able to look at it a little bit more. I'm really going to be studying between numerology, tarot cards, research for the podcast. My books just keep piling up. Speaking of, I got a really cool book at Frank and Con.
Yep.
I got, it's beautiful. Next, when you come over this weekend, I'm gonna have to show you. It's like a chapter book, not even a chapter book, but it's a book
full of short stories
of gothic horror stories.
Oh, okay.
And one of the authors that has his stories in there was there selling them, and he signed it for me.
Oh, that's cool.
But he's in there with like people like Edgar Allan Poe and like famous people like that are in this book. So he signed it for me. So that's my
Edgar Allan Poe is dark,
very dark.
He had some dark
and
dark
it's a
stories.
Beautiful book. Like I said, I'll show you when you come over. It's black, but it has like gold accents on it. I'll post a picture. It is absolutely stunning. So I think that's it. Did I miss anything?
No, I don't think so, but she definitely didn't do any driving.
I was passing Princess there and back.
All the way there and all the way back.
Hold up. I drove the last 3 hours.
You did, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
But how long of a drive was it?
You did.
That doesn't matter, Garrett. It does not matter how long the drive was. I drove for 3 hours.
Mind you, the first 3 hours she slept.
Oh, I'd wake up and be like, are you good? He'd be like, yep, okay, I'm going back to sleep.
That's probably what, like a
12 hours.
I was about to say 10, 12-hour drive.
And with all the stops, about 13.
Yeah.
Well, you got to pee. You got to have something to eat. Something to drink.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're chugging.
So then you got
to
pee more.
Caffeine. Yeah. So you kept having to stop. It was really cool. I had a lot of fun. I can't wait for the next trip. And we got a lot of cool stuff coming up. Like I said, we're interviewing Eve this weekend. We're going to do Caddo Lake, I think, if y'all want to record when you come over. So we'll actually have two episodes that you might want to record. I'm doing Caddo Lake. Okay. So there was actually a tragedy that happened on the lake, and then some of the lore around
behind
the lake,
it.
The haunted lore. So we're going to do that.
Well, wasn't that at one point, that was a man-made lake, was it not? It was flooded, wasn't it?
I think you're right, but I'll have to look. I don't
remember. So none of the bodies that were there were dug up and removed. They just...
I don't remember if that's at lake or not. I'll have to look.
Since
I've done the research, so... But yeah, we're going to cover all that. And there was a big boating accident there, so...
Mm.
We're going to talk about that.
Recent or past?
Past.
Okay.
It was like a steamboat.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Well, that's all I've got. So I hope everybody enjoys their 4th of July. I'm hoping to get this posted either tomorrow or Friday. And then we've got some cool stuff coming. Anything else you want to add?
I don't think so. Just like and subscribe. That way, maybe yes. Next time we go on these trips, I can hire a chauffeur.
Driver.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Bacon limo, maybe?
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, riding style, right?
That's right. Well, our numbers are definitely growing.
If you can get us over a certain amount, maybe I can get a private jet.
Well, I do have to give some shout-outs. So Dusty actually messaged me. So shout-out Dusty and Kayla. Thank you for listening and giving your suggestions. So shout-out to them. CJ and his mom were listening, May said. So shout-out to Dusty and Sarah, or CJ and Sarah.
Yep.
See, anybody else told you that they were listening? Cord. Shout out to Cord.
Cord definitely listens. Some of the guys from work, maybe.
Maybe.
You know, the guys I just did surgical training with, maybe they're listening. Shout out to y'all if you are.
Yeah. So we've got more coming. A lot of new listeners. I don't know where they're coming from, but keep on sending them our way. If you guys, please, if you do anything, please leave a comment on whatever form that you listen to, whatever platform that you're listening to us on, because it just helps with the algorithm. It gets us out there. It just really boosts people seeing us. So please, if you can give us a 5-star rating, if you can leave a comment, it helps us get this out, and that way we can keep bringing you guys cool stories and maybe go check out some things and bring some more stuff for you.
Yep.
But
wait. Can you say algorithm for me one more time?
Algorithm.
There you go.
She has a hard time with words sometimes.
I see
words
that.
Words are hard. All right. Well, that's it for tonight. We had fun. We enjoyed it.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah,
of course.
You'll be back again. He may take Tori's place until she can get back over here.
Yeah.
She's too busy for us.
Yeah. Get your shit together, Tori.
Tori. Well, that's it for tonight. So tune in next week where the guilty confess.
And the ghostly never rest.
Bye, guys.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.